In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear faithful, today is a special day. December 8, coming 9 months before Mary's birthday on September 8. We celebrate today the Blessed Virgin Mary, who was never stained by original sin, even from the first instant of her existence in the conception of her by her parents, Saint Joachim and Anne. That conception took place in the normal biological manner, but God intervened to be sure that her soul simultaneously enjoyed the absolute fullness of divine grace. Her soul was not purified after conception, but was created immediately in the fullness of grace. It certainly makes sense that Mary, the second Eve, would have entered into life in the womb with no less grace than the first Eve. It makes sense that the mother of our sinless Redeemer would never have been tainted by sin herself, that he would draw his sinless flesh and bones from a woman absolutely untainted by sin. And this is what we have, according to Catholic belief, as enunciated by Pope Pius XI, who in 1854 gave a crystal clear definition of the dogma of the Immaculate Conception of Mary. The Immaculate Conception has been the general teaching of the Church, taught by many fathers, doctors of the Church, many popes and theologians. When the Council of Trent explained the concept of original sin, it clearly stated that Mary was never touched by this condition. In the very beginning, in the book of Genesis, Mary was the one promised by God to Adam and Eve to be at enmities with the devil, the one who would crush his head. At enmities means to be the polar opposite. In order to oppose Satan's evil, Mary would be completely holy through her entire life. Nowadays, modernist theologians point out the relatively late date, 1854, of the dogmatic definition of the Immaculate Conception to contradict or at least to doubt of this truth. Actually, the relatively late date is more of a sign that the Immaculate Conception was so well accepted by Catholics that a definition was not very necessary. The Church has never issued a dogmatic decree that God exists, but that is clearly her universal teaching. The bodily assumption of Mary into heaven was not defined dogmatically about a century later, 1950, but it had been celebrated on August 15 in all the churches of the Christian world, of the East and of the West, even those that have been unfortunately separated from Rome for centuries. Some theologians of our times try also to claim that St. Thomas Aquinas was opposed to the Immaculate Conception of Mary. More exactly, we have to say that St. Thomas Aquinas, widely acknowledged the Church's greatest theologian, often disagrees with people who said right things for the wrong reasons. It would be dishonest to say that St. Thomas Aquinas' rejection of incorrect explanations about the Immaculate Conception was a rejection of the doctrine itself. St. Thomas wrote, "Purity is constituted by a recession from impurity. And therefore, it is possible to find some creature purer than all the rest, namely one not contaminated by any taint of sin, such as was the purity of the Blessed Virgin, who was immune from original and actual sin. So spoke St. Thomas Aquinas. There is a reason for the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception. God abhors sin. Sin is completely contrary to the divine will. Sin is completely contrary to divine nature. God the Father was unwilling to save the world by the cooperation of someone subject to sin. God the Holy Ghost was unwilling to overshadow a woman who was anything that totally pure. God the Son was unwilling to allow his pure flesh and precious blood to be contaminated with sin. For the incarnation took place, God, who is not bound by constraints of time or space, allowed Mary to benefit in advance from the redemption to be operated by her son, Jesus. The feast of the Immaculate Conception is also a lesson, a teaching, and a constant reminder for us who, at the moment of our baptism, were freed from original sin. The gospel account of the wedding at Cana and the turning of water into wine is very instructive for us. But Mary's concern for men and women goes far beyond their eating and their drinking. She is eager to share what she possesses most abundantly. She asks her son, Jesus, to make us sinless, humble, obedient, and filled with grace, even as she is. In short, she asks for nothing less than our eternal salvation. And she knows that Jesus does not refuse her, as he could not refuse her at Cana. She knows that he wills our salvation because God's will is her will. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.